Moncrief on News Talk.
You've probably seen a lot of the media coverage for the missing farmer Michael Gain, but not all such cases receive so much attention. Last year, there were over 11,000 missing person cases reported to the Gardaí. Christy Galligan is a former Garda sergeant and has been engaged in many such searches. Good afternoon, Christy.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So is there like a rule if somebody goes into a Garda station and says someone they know is missing, do they have to be missing for a certain amount of time before you can do anything? Or any kind of...
There was a period of 24 hours before the Garda would take an initial report. Now, if it was in relation to a child or a person who was very vulnerable, came from a care home or something like that there, or from a mental health institution, then they will be treated more seriously because they're all risk assessed and there's different risk assessments for different people who go missing. And really, you know, if the behaviour is out of character, therein lies risk factor, and it's very important that we take as much information as possible at a very early stage before anything happens. I think that's the most important thing. A person, you know, conducting searches are all very well, but you want to know as much in much detail that person's behaviour. Is it consistent with previous behaviour? Is it inconsistent with previous behaviour? And you want to know what other information, whether there's third party speaking to the person who went missing, is there CCTV in a local area? So there's a whole plethora of risk assessments that must be done in order to get a full picture of that person.
And is it easy? I mean, I assume a mobile phone could be invaluable in this regard. Is it easy to get the permission to kind of triangulate the position of a phone if you're looking for
somebody? Well, I mean, like everything else, you know, we have to be very cognizant of data protection and everything else. Mm. And Gardaí have to seek certain orders before they get permission to triangulate and obtain permission to access somebody's phone. A number of very high-profile cases where, you know, access to phones came into discussion. But in relation to the missing persons, this would be very important that the case you were talking about in Kerry, Michael Gain, that a person's phone, if he had his phone with him, and obviously he was in his local village at the time getting credit for his phone, that phone would be invaluable. Now, like a lot of people, as we know, you know, I have looked at the research and I've looked at the Garda Síochána system, and we're looking at 11,000 people in 2024 that according were missing, were written as missing reports. And the unfortunate aspect here, Sean, is a lot of those people go missing for a myriad of reasons. There's a whole plethora of reasons, but very few come into the high risk. Where maybe a child might go missing and maybe could be subject to child exploitation, or somebody has been subject of criminal activity where they have been threatened, or, you know, there's a whole a different risk assessment for that type of person that goes missing.
Yes.
As opposed to a person who just goes missing and might want to stay away for 24 hours or might have gone abroad for a few days to get away from it all. So there's a whole different risk assessment that has to be looked at in all these cases.
I assume there's a certain cohort of people, because 11,000 is a massive figure, but there's probably within that a large number of people who don't want to be found.
Yeah, there is. And if you look up the missing persons and you see the number of people who are missing, I was looking up the photographs there today on the Garda the portal today, and a lot of them, believe it or not, a vast majority are from Eastern European countries, Asian countries, African countries, who have come to Ireland, maybe seeking asylum or international protection, and have gone missing for whatever reasons. Now, they may have gone to the UK or may gone to other parts of Europe, may have used a different name or is another assumed name. And that's part and parcel of the issues that we have to deal with when we're dealing with missing persons.
Mm. So, but it can that be difficult for the guards? Because, you know, you're You may have a strong suspicion that this person just did a runner for whatever reason.
Yes.
But you can't definitively prove it. So are they still technically still missing, if you know what I mean?
They're technically still missing. And if you've seen that there's 840 live or active cases still on the Garda Post system. And last year we had 88 missing people still missing on the system, you know. And those people have yet to be traced. Now, we know and there are an acknowledged where we have the cases of very recognisable cases of Jojo Dullard and Annie McCarrick and Trevor Dealey and all of those in down in the southeast part of the country and what they call the famous triangle down there of missing persons. So there are people where they have never been found, but believe that the circumstances may have resulted in a homicide. So there are those cases versus the cases where people had decided, look, I've had enough. I just want to get out of here. Mm. But there are also cases where people with dementia or mental health have also maybe just gone missing. And unfortunately, we have seen in a number of cases where people are very night walking in forests and different parts of the country and came across skeleton remains, people that went missing many years ago.
Yeah.
And it is heartbreaking for the families.
Oh, no,
because they're the people who are waiting for the information.
Yeah. In the circumstances, it doesn't seem to happen every time, but sometimes someone's missing and then there's a kind of a physical search of an area. Is that a set of circumstances where the guards would have fairly strong evidence that they may be there or indeed a body may be there?
Yeah, and you know, that's part of the risk assessment as well, that a senior investigating officer and overseen by, say, a divisional or a district officer will assess whether or not that person was the subject of a criminal body or someone who caused them harm. And when you go into a search and missing area, I mean, you have access to satellite maps, you'll have access to your ground survey maps, and you'll look at that area and you'll divide it up into different quadrants. You'll have your specialist search teams in who'll then look at the different quadrants, search those quadrants meticulously, and they'll move from quadrant to quadrant until they clear that area. And then they'll widen that search again to other areas as well until they're satisfied that those areas are properly searched and cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a major, but there is an obligation on police services under the European Convention of Human Rights. Never mind the moral obligation, but there is an obligation for the preservation of life, and that's one of the most important pillars of any policing service: the preservation of life.
Yes, indeed. In an instance where you're pretty sure that the missing person was murdered, you may even have the suspect.
Yes.
If you don't find a body, does that mean you can never prosecute the suspect?
Not necessarily. You could have very substantial and good circumstantial evidence that could show that a person was involved in the murder of another party without that. But it's a very rare occasion that you'll have a successful outcome before the courts. And that will be assessed anyway by the Director of Public Prosecutions, because you know, all of that evidence tied in together, you know, between what the investigating officer has done and the officers that he has deployed, you know, the house-to-house inquiries, third parties, phones, all of that will be brought into being as part of the file. And then it will then be assessed by the Director of Public Prosecutions. It is rare, but it does happen occasionally.
And in terms now, obviously, as I said at the start, there's a lot of publicity around the search for Michael Gain. Are there instances where it's actually not a good idea to publicise that somebody's missing, or indeed the family mightn't want that publicity?
Well, I mean, that's you're caught between a rock and a hard place, because the families are important, and it's important to engage with the families. That's why they have liaison officers, and always keep the families informed. That's the most important thing, to keep the families informed, their loved ones informed of the ongoing investigation. But very rarely, and sometimes it can be where someone maybe is subject of a child sexual exploitation, or somebody may have been kidnapped and their life may be in danger, that the police service or the Garda service may not want to reveal too much at that time, because they don't want to endanger the life of the person they're looking for either.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll keep certain aspects of an investigation under wraps until they finalise and maybe catch the suspect, themselves.
Yeah, indeed. And how much of the time is it somebody is reported missing and then they just walk through the door a couple of days later?
Well, I have found over the years where people have been reported missing by family or loved ones, and within a matter of hours, that person may be contactable, or they rang home to say, oh, I'm shopping and across the border or somewhere like that. You know, they mightn't be that far away, or maybe have gone out for a stroll or met friends, and or maybe have gone to climb a hill somewhere and didn't notify people, and people were concerned that they hadn't been contacted after a number of hours.
Yeah.
That can happen also.
Christy, thanks a million for talking with us today. That was Christy.
You're very welcome.
That was Christy Galligan there, a former Garda sergeant and search supervisor.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.